pray for Braylee. We forgot to mention her. She's not feeling well. The strep throat is going through the school. I think Elijah's got it now or something like that, I guess. So y'all pray for our students as we try to wind up the year, and staff as well. I'm glad you're here tonight. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalm 78. Psalm 78. If you'd find that passage, I had the privilege of preaching chapel, I guess it's been 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I chose this selection to preach to our young people. I want to choose it again tonight with the Lord's permission. And though the idea would be the same, I want to change it up a little bit. But I, like you, I read through my Bible, and sometimes I read across things and I have to stop and ponder that and think about it and try to digest what I've just read. Sometimes I read right through stuff and I don't see it. And I read it again the next time and I say, I know good and well I've read that before. How come I didn't see that before? But that's just how the Bible works. Sometimes you see it. Sometimes God has a specific message for you. And you won't see it maybe the first time or the second time. But you'll be reading the Word of God and it will speak to your heart. That's kind of what happened here in this passage to me. I probably went for a week or two with these verses on my heart and couldn't seem to get rid of them. We don't have time to read the whole psalm. I wish you would take time to do that later at your convenience. I think there's about 72 verses in the whole thing. And it basically is a recap of some of the activities of the children of Israel during the wilderness and other things. If you'll look at the first part of it, it says Psalm 78, Maskil of Asaph. So we know who wrote the psalm. It was Asaph, who was a chief musician, who was a great singer, who was a great servant of the Lord. And he wrote this psalm. And I want to start reading, if you'd allow me to do that. Which, before we do that, let's just say this, that God has many attributes. And when we use that big word, we just simply mean that there's some things about God that are true about Him. And always will be, always has been, and always will be true about Him. One of those big fancy words that we use is that He is omnipotent, which means He is all-powerful, that God can do anything, that nothing lies outside of the reach of our God, that He is in control of whatever situation. If you remember in the book of Job, before Satan could go to Job and do anything to him, God had to give him, Satan, permission. Satan does nothing outside of God's allowable permission. The tides of the sea, the tides of the ocean go no further than God says they can go. The temperature here in South Georgia goes no higher than God says it can, nor any lower. I would be all right if He worked on the lower a little bit, but not so much the higher. But nothing lies outside of the reach of our God. God has complete dominion over His creation. Nothing is too hard for God. You cannot tell me tonight a situation that you have in your life that lies outside of the ability of God to take care of it. It does not exist. Some of you come to church, and I've known you long enough to know this, that you have things going on in your life, in your families, and you need God's help with them. Can I remind you tonight that nothing lies outside of the ability of God to take care of, and we praise God for that. However, in God's complete dominion, He has limited Himself. In other words, there's some things that God cannot or will not do. Okay? Number one, we know according to the Bible that God cannot lie. God cannot tell a lie. It is impossible. Something else that God cannot do, and we just studied this last month, God cannot change His word. The Bible said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." God cannot change His word. We're not going to get a new revelation tomorrow about the Bible that no one's ever seen before because God has changed His mind. That will not and cannot happen. God can allow unforgiven sin to get into heaven. All sin must be forgiven before a person can enter heaven. God's not going to change. That's going to happen. God cannot allow sin to go unpunished, no matter how large or no matter how small. The very smallest sin has to be dealt with. It could be as whatever you think is the smallest sin in the world. God cannot turn a blind eye to that sin. It has to be dealt with. One other thing, and you'll say amen to this, at least in your heart, that God can't see my sin through the blood of Christ. Because it's gone, gone, gone. All my sins are gone. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as perfect and not as I am. And that's a great truth. That when God looks down upon me, he does not see Earl. He sees by his wonderful grace, his own dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I got saved, I was put in Christ and sealed by the Spirit of God. Praise God. He can't see my sin because my sin is gone. And one other thing that God can't do, and here's what I want to kind of point out to you tonight and help my own self with. God cannot or will not force himself into a heart that does not want him. He's not going to do it. When I got saved, I chose to get saved. When I got saved, God was working on me, and I yielded to him. When you got saved, God didn't force himself on you. There would be a doctrine now, I guess it's popular among the Calvinists or those that would believe the tulip, and we can talk about that later, that there's a doctrine called irresistible grace. And what that simply means is that when God knocks on your door, you have to answer. I don't believe that. Okay, you know why I don't believe that? Because he knocked on mine for many years, and I told him no. I told him no. Maybe you did too. So God will not force himself into a heart that does not want him there. Let's start reading in verse number 32, if you'll allow me to do that. Read down through verse 41. I'll pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. Our Bible says this, God's Word, Psalm 78, 32. For all this they sinned still, believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Here's our text verse. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How is it possible to limit an unlimited God? Well, the Bible clearly tells us in this passage that these his children limited him. Verse 41 says they limited the Holy One of Israel. That word limit means basically this, to draw a line and tell God, God, you have free access and free will to do anything you want to on that side of the line. But I'm going to draw a line here, and this space is mine, and you're not allowed to come any further. Brother Earl, would they do that to God? That's what our Bible says. That they drew a line. They limited God. They said, God, anything you want to do out here in this area, you're more than welcome. Matter of fact, I invite you to do that. But there's some areas of my life that I have marked off, that I have put some tape around, that I have drawn a line, and I don't want you crossing that line. Does that ever happen in your life, Brother Earl? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They gave him access, but they did not give him full access. Here's some areas that God has limited influence in for these folks. Let's see if they match up with anything in my own life. But first, let's pray and ask the dear Lord to bless our time. Because without him, the Bible says we can do nothing. Father, I love you tonight. And I thank you. Lord, I don't want to limit what you can do in my life. And God, I know when I sin, that draws a line. When I'm not obedient, that draws a line. when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that limits what you can do in my life. And God, what's best for me, though I don't always see it, is to let you have full reign, to let you have full access to every thought, to every word, to every action, to every room in my heart, to those things that I've blocked off tonight, Father. I pray that you would help me to yield them to you. Cleanse me of my sin and use me tonight for your glory. We always, always miss our preacher. Would you bless him, Miss Sellers, bring him back safely, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let me preach to you for a little while on this subject. Don't come any closer. Four areas real quick where they limited God so that God could not do everything that God wanted to do in their life. Number one, would you write this down? They limited God in their families. Verse number 5 says this, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." The first area of their life where they limited God was they limited God by limiting their children or their offspring or their family, if you'll let me put it that way. That the teaching here is obvious, that it is our responsibility to pass down the teachings of this word to our children. Well, Brother Earl, what if I didn't get saved till later in life? Then pick up the Word of God from that point forward and teach your children and teach your grandchildren. And if you got them, teach your great-grandchildren. They limited God because they limited what they allowed their children to learn. Somewhere, someone failed. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were not saved when I was a young fellow or even as I was a teenager. Matter of fact, I got saved before they did. Okay, so that might be your testimony tonight. Now, I praise God tonight that my mom and dad both are saved and serving God, but it wasn't like that growing up. But we're in God's house. We're God's children, and it is our responsibility to make sure that our children know the Word of God. Where do they learn how to live for God? They learn by watching you, Dad. They learn by watching you, Mom. They learn by listening to you, Mom and Dad. They learn by the example that you set in their families and in their presence. Just a reminder to us that our children learn about God from us. They learn how to worship Him. They learn how to obey Him. They learn how to trust Him. They learn how to lean on Him by watching us. How are we doing? How are we doing in that area? Are we limiting how much God can do in our children or our grandchildren because we're not living for God the way we should? We have to be careful about that. I know it's hard sometimes. These teenagers around here, I love them. Give me teenagers all day long, and Miss Leah can keep the kindergarten class. Give me the teenagers. I love them. But here's what they don't see sometimes. The action that they do when they're 14 or 15 or 16 influences them for the rest of their life. I have things in my life today at 57 years old that I did when I was 16 years old that still haunts me today. Still haunts me today. We have to let our children know that there's a God in heaven, that He loves us, that He's merciful, that even though we make mistakes, that He forgives us. They limited God by limiting the amount that their children learned about Him. It's a great thing to have these kids come up here, and they might say, in the beginning, God regated the heavens and the earth. I don't know what regated means, but that's okay. That's okay. Give them a piece of candy for trying, amen? Give them a piece of candy for trying. Man, I tell you what's the truth. They'll grow up and they'll remember that. Would to God, when I was 4 years old or 5 years old, that I could have stood in front of a church somewhere and said, regated the heavens and the earth. Man, that'd have been a wonderful thing. Teach your kids to love God. Don't just teach them by telling them. Teach them by showing them. Don't let Satan get in your life and ruin your testimony in front of your children. Be strong for them. Stand for them. Read your Bible in front of them. Pray in front of them. Remember Scripture. Memorize Scripture in front of them. Teach them the words of God. And even if you do, they still might grow up and be knuckleheads. They still might grow up and be knuckleheads. I know. I got a son that's a knucklehead. He can get a copy of this tape. That'll be fine. But you know what? I snuck into his room on many nights. They didn't nobody know about it, but me and God kneeled down beside his bed and put my hand on him while he was asleep and begged God to do something with him. Snuck into Stacy's room. It worked for her. I don't know what happened. I was right with God when I prayed for her, I reckon. Teacher. They limited how much God could work in their children's life because they did not teach them. Brother Earl, I have failed. Well, that's okay. Today's a good time to start. Number two, they limited God not only in their families, but by their faith. Verse number 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God? Can we just stop right there? Can God? Harold Seitler, a great preacher of yesteryear, preached a message not on can God, but he preached a message called God Can. And you can just imagine Brother Seitler, if you've never heard him preach, great man of God. And it wasn't God can God, he said God Can. That was the name of his message, and boy, he preached a good one. But here it is, they limited God by their faith. They did not believe that God could do what God said he could do. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God set in order when there's nothing to set in order? Can God do something but not do anything else? It goes on in verse 20 to say this, behold, he smote the rock. They're giving him credit. He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Boy, we're giving God credit, aren't we? But then they go and say, can he give bread also? They were not satisfied, were they? They said, oh, God smote the rock and gave us water, but we was really wanting some bread. Can he do that too? They limited God by their faith. The Bible says four times in Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. Can God? Do you believe God can? There's not a person sitting in the room tonight that doesn't believe that God can. God can. You tell me what it is that you have an impossible. We heard Brother Carlton Allen preach while he was here during revival. If you have something impossible, why don't you just take it to God? Because with God, the Bible said, all things are possible. All things are possible. Do you have faith enough to believe that God can furnish your needs if you tithe? Now, I'm not looking at you when I said that. Are you limiting God and what God wants to do in your life because you refuse to give him what's due him? Well, I tell you what, I wish you'd think about that. You limit God. God said, I got all this for you. I want to give it to you. I don't want to be limited. But until you're obedient to me, I won't give you. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You bet he can. Can God give water out of the rock? You bet he can. Can he give bread also? Absolutely. Can he take my salary and make it go further than I can? I'll move on. Either he can or he can't. You decide. You decide. Number three, they limited God by their forgetfulness. Do y'all have trouble remembering stuff? Those of you that are older than 57, please tell me that it gets better. And I know what you're going to say. It ain't getting any better, Brother Earl. I can be sitting at my desk. Now, all y'all know what my office looks like. My desk is right here, my Bible right there, and I turn, and there's my computer that I turn to 1,000 times a week. I can be sitting at my desk with my eyes this way, have a thought cross my mind about something I need to look up on the computer, turn to the computer, and I'll done be forgot what it was I was going to look for. I do it all the time. My mind is going quickly. I can't hear anything. Just ask Carla. And if I can't hear it, I can't remember it. And if I do hear it, I still can't remember it. I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me the absolute best medicine in the world to improve your memory. Did it work? I don't know because I forgot to take it. Amen. Y'all understand me? I mean, my memory's terrible. Forgetting things about life is one thing. We all do that. We all do that. Forgetting how God blessed you in the past is another thing entirely. Okay? It's another thing altogether. These people forgot. verse number 42 says this, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How soon we forget how God came through for us in the past. I know good and well, and I know you enough to know this, that everybody in this room has had some kind of need in their life. They've taken it to the Father, and the Father answered your prayer. There was something going on in your life. You weren't sure how you'd figure it out. You prayed. God answered your prayer, and you came to church with a smile on your face, and you said, man, I got a testimony, Brother Earl, preacher. I got to say that God answered my prayer. Everybody in the room got a testimony like that. We were praying for somebody. We were praying for something. We were praying for financial thing going on in our life. Whatever the case may be, a loved one that's sick. We prayed, and God answered. And we were amazed that God did. And the next time something comes along, we done forgot all about the last time that God helped us. And now here's what we do. We worry. We worry and we fret over something that we know good and well God can do. Here's what we tell ourselves. Well, if it was Brother Sellers and he had a need, God answered his prayer because he's the preacher. See? If it was one of these sweet ladies around here that pray all the time, God answered their prayer because they pray all the time. We forget sometimes that we're all the children of God. You don't have a child that is yours, that came to you, whether they're right with you or wrong with you, that had a need that you turn them away. And if we'll do that for our children, bless God, he'll do it for us far and above anything we could ask or think. God helped us in the past. He's answered our prayers. He supplied our need. He gave us a heart filled with peace. He healed our loved one. He gave them mercy. He gave us protection. When we worry and fret and lose sleep because we forget God's goodness, we limit him. He can give water. Boy, he smoked that rock and the water gushed out. But can he give bread too? Well, what do you think? We limit God when we forget how good God's been to us. How much God has done for us. How God has come through for us. I don't know. Listen, I've been praying just like you do. I pray for things around the ministry just like you do. And I have seen God answer my prayer. Not because I'm Brother Earl, but because I belong to him. And you do too. You're saved tonight. Last thing, and I'm done. They limited God because of their forgiveness, or should I say their lack thereof. Look at verse number 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. We'll stop reading there. These folks couldn't have been Baptists, amen. They faked their worship and they flattered him with their words. They lied to God about their heart's condition and they disobeyed him. And Baptists would never do anything like that. God's response to their lying, God's response to their disobedience, God's response to their faked relationship was bitterness. Are you listening to me? Was the silent treatment. God said you did me wrong, I ain't going to talk to you. Was it a dirty look from God toward them? Maybe it was animosity and friction and pressure. Maybe it was God just talked to his son and the Holy Spirit behind his children's back. No, my Bible says that he was full of compassion and forgave. If I had to point out one of the greatest hindrances to God working in your heart and mind, it is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If you want to limit God, if you want to draw the line in your life and not let God come any closer, then be and God will not, God will not answer your prayer. Matthew 6, 15. You may turn there if you like. I'm going to read it to you. Or you may mark it down and read it later. But our word says this, Matthew 6, 15. But Jesus speaking, by the way, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's the thought I had one day. Has anyone ever done anything wrong to me? Absolutely. I've had people come in my office and just bless me out. Tell me I wasn't a Christian. Tell me if I was a Christian, I'd do things different. Maybe if I read my Bible and practiced what was in the Bible, I'd be a better person. And I didn't get bitter, and I praise God for that. But there have been times that I have gotten bitter because people attacked me over things that I didn't think I did. Maybe I did, I don't know. But I do remember this, thinking in my spirit, I deserve better than this. Who do they think they are? And when that spirit comes in, the spirit and the peace of God goes out. It goes out. If you really want to limit God, then have an unforgiving, prideful spirit. Unforgiveness destroys your testimony. It destroys churches. It destroys families. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you got something going on tonight that you need to get right. I'm telling you, God is limited in your life. Until you get it right. Until you get it right. God is limited. Maybe I'm satisfied with the limits I've put on God. Maybe I'm happy the way things are. I read this to Carla before church, but Max Dupree, who was a businessman, a Christian businessman, made this simple yet profound statement, and it simply goes like this. We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. Isn't that just simple, yet so deep that we can't hardly grasp it with our mind? We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. Okay? If you want to have God work in your life, if you want to have God's blessings on you, if you want to remove the line and let God come in and have full access, then you have to. I have a choice. Are there places in my life that I am limiting God? Maybe it's in my family. Maybe it's my faith and everything it ought to be. Maybe it's because I've forgotten how good God's been to me and He's been good. Or maybe, just maybe, it's because I refuse to forgive. I hope that's not the case. Everybody in the room tonight wants God to bless them, or you wouldn't be here. Well, God has some limits, and He's not going to force Himself upon you. He's going to wait for you to get it right and give Him access. Let's pray. Miss Laura, you come play, sweetie. Let's pray and ask God to bless this invitation. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I don't want to put limits on you. And God, I know I've done it before, and I'm apt to do it again. But tonight, as best I can before you and these folks, I want to say have full access in my heart. God, those areas in my life that I struggle with, I pray you'd help me. Lord, the greatest place for me to be tonight is to let you have free reign in my heart. God, I even ask that you would do that. Lord, I pray for these folks whom I love with all my heart. Would you bless them? I pray for them frequently through the week. Some of them, God, need a touch from heaven, and I pray you'd bless them tonight. Some of them have some things going on in their heart and in their family that they need your help with, and I'm asking you to do that tonight. God, I would even go as far as to say this. If there's someone here tonight holding a grudge, someone here tonight with an unforgiving spirit, God, would just set them free tonight that they might know the unlimited favor of you working in their life. Would you stand to your feet, please? Miss Lori's going to play something on the piano. And the altar is open. You can just come and talk to the Lord quietly or where you're at in your seat. Can I encourage you, don't leave tonight with unforgiven sin, unforgiveness, limits on God. Don't leave tonight. Let Him have full reign. Miss Lori, the altars are open. You come.